بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. We continue, Ikhwan, and pick up from where we left off in last week's session. We had begun a discussion of the ta'zeeb, the punishment, and the persecution that the companions of the Messenger ﷺ went through alongside the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. The Messenger ﷺ himself, he said that there was no one that was punished in the way of Allah and persecuted in the way of Allah in a manner in which I was persecuted in the way of Allah. And there is no doubt, Ikhwan, the one who analyzes the riwayat and the ahadith, he will see that that is wadih. There was no one like the Messenger ﷺ in terms of the manner in which he was persecuted, even though he was of noble lineage, he was of noble background, that he was from the grandsons of Abdul Muttalib, that he was known to be a Sadiq al-Amin, and other than that, they still punished him and harmed him in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. We mentioned the narration last week when the Prophet ﷺ was seen by Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, and he was covered in blood after being beaten by his people. And that affair of being harmed and beaten in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal was something that was seen among the companions Ridwan Allah alayhim for the sake of giving da'wah and the sake of calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, we mentioned and we discussed earlier today something around the biography of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, something very, very, and it's just a snippet. But Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, in essence, Ikhwan, was from among the companions who was from the first of the callers to Allah Azza wa Jal that made the da'wah public and that brought the recitation of the Quran to the ma'ashar and to the gathering of the people of Quraysh. In a narration that was collected by Imam Ahmad in Fada'il al-Sahaba concerning one of the virtues of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was the first of the companions to recite the Quran publicly upon the kuffar. The first person who jahara bil Quran. And there is a narration that is Hassan, wherein Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, as Urwa ibn Zubair, he mentions, كان أول من جهر بالقرآن بعد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بمكة عبد الله بن مسعود. That he mentions that the first person after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make the recitation of the Quran publicly was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Bearing in mind, Ikhwan, as we mentioned, we had the initial stage of the bi'athah and the Messenger being sent as a Messenger and being informed of the fact that he was a Messenger, receiving the revelation, giving da'wah privately and secretly, calling those who were close from his relatives, from the near ones, to Allah Azza wa Jal, and that the da'wah spreading in that manner. And then we had Allah Azza wa Jal commanding the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, فَاسْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ, make public that which you have been commanded. And the Messenger would go out into the marketplaces saying, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تُفْلِحُوا. O people, say لَا إِلَهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ and you will be saved. You will be safe. But the reality is it was only the Messenger of Allah that was doing so initially. And that indicates the courage of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam in the middle of the awsat and in the middle of the midst of a community that was given and that was rife in worshipping the idols and worshipping various forms of deities, turning to particular gods for certain reasons, that he stood in the middle of them, would recite upon them that which they didn't know and they were unacquainted with, challenge them and their poetry, challenge them and their idol worship, and was one man alone doing so. Na'am, there were companions who were with him and there were believers who were with him, but throughout that period they were mustada'afin, in essence. They were considered those who were persecuted, those who were ill-treated, and they were weak in terms of their ability to retaliate to the persecution of Quraysh. So even though he didn't have behind him, other than some of his tribesmen and some of the people of his lineage, Abu Talib and others, who to an extent prevented him and protected him, he was still harmed and he was still beaten, he was still he still had his blood drawn in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the companions, the da'wah of the companions was that they would call their companions, call their relatives, call their friends to the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, but none of them actually made it public or made a public da'wah in the manner in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the da'wah public and announced the recitation of the book of Allah Azza wa Jal to the people. And so we have then, كان أول من جهر بالقرآن بعد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بمكة عبد الله بن مسعود. That the first one to make the Quran or to recite the Quran publicly and openly after the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم in Mecca was عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه. اجتمع يوما أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالوا والله ما سمعت قريش هذا القرآن يجهر لها به قط فمن رجل يسمعهم القرآن. That he mentioned that indeed the Quraysh, the tribe of Quraysh, have not heard the Quran publicly. يعني they have not heard the Quran publicly, other than again the instances with the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. Bearing in mind, Ikhwan, even with the recitation of the Quran as it related to the Messenger, the majority of that which we've read thus far from the Messenger reciting the Quran upon the Kuffar of Quraysh was that he would recite upon certain individuals, Walid ibn al-Mughira and others. But as far as the public recitation of the Quran, then here from the companions were those who didn't know of any public recitation of the Quran. And so they said, who then and which man will make public the recitation of the Quran that they may hear it, yani that they may pay attention to it and listen to it. فَقَالَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بِنْ مَسْعُودِ أَنَا. And so Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, I will. قَالُوا إِنَّا نَخْشَاهُمْ عَلَيْكَ. And they said, verily we fear them upon you. Or we fear for you from them. And that they'll harm you. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was still young. And so he said, إِنَّمَا نَعَمْ. Or rather, they continued, إِنَّمَا نُرِيدُ رَجُولًا لَهُ عَشِيرَةً يَمْنَعُونَهُ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ إِنْ أَرَادُوهُ. He said, or they said, what we intend and what we need is a man that has ashira. That is, what we need is a man that has a family, has a large family, a tribe, that will protect him from them. So not, yani, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, someone else, someone with a tribe, someone who has a position, and someone who has that protective network of family members that will protect him, prevent him, and prevent them from him. And so Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, دعوني فإن الله عز وجل سيمنعني. He said, leave me, for indeed Allah عز وجل will protect me. And so Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the following day, غدا ibn Mas'ud حتى أتى المقام في الضحى. And so he went out the following day until he came to the place of the Maqam Ibrahim, yani in front of the Kaaba, at the time of Duha. That is, during or in the early part of the day, yani before Dhuhr. And then Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu qara'a Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim rafi'an sawta. He said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, raising his voice, Ar Rahman 'allama al-Qur'an. And he began to recite from Surah Ar-Rahman. ثم استقبلها يقرأ فيها. Then he turned towards them and recited upon them. قال وتأملوا فجعلوا يقولون ما يقول ابن أم عبد. And so he turned to them, reciting to them, and they stopped and they listened, and they said, what is it that ibn Umm Abd is saying? What is it that he's saying? Again, Ikhwan, bearing in mind, the Quran was something that was ajeeb, to them. Since the only thing that they were acquainted with was either kalam, the speech of Nas, or poetry. They had not heard the likes of the Quran. And so it amazed them, it bewildered them. They were unable to explain it. And the only thing that they had that was poetic was poetry. And poetry ordinarily fell, as we mentioned previously, upon certain syllable structures. Regardless of the poem and how beautiful it was, it always fell upon certain syllable structures. And so when they heard the Quran and it didn't fall upon any of those structures, but it was beautiful, and it was the most eloquent of the Arabic language that they heard, it bewildered them. They were unable to categorize it as poetry. Neither could they say it was just the speech of, and the kalam of Nas, the speech of the people. And the message was potent and strong. And so it amazed them. And so Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he stood in front of them. He said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, ar-Rahman. And began to recite from Surah ar-Rahman. And so he recited, turned towards them. They reflected upon what he was saying. And then they said one to another, what is it that Ibn Ummi Abd is saying? What is he reciting? Qala, thumma qalu, innahu layatlu ba'dama ja'a bihi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so they then turned to each other saying, he's reciting some of that which Muhammad has come with. Some of that which Muhammad has brought. فَقَامُوا إِلَيْهِ. So they stood and they rose to him. فَجَعَلُوا يَذْرِبُونَهُ فِي وَجْهِهِ. And so they went over to him and began to beat him and hit him in his face. وَجَعَلَ يَقْرَأْ حَتَّى بَلَغَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَبْلُغُ. And so he continued to recite as they hit him. He continued to recite until he reached what he was able to reach from the surah. ثُمَّ انْصَرَفَ إِلَىٰ أَصْحَابِهِ. And then he turned and went back to his companions. وَقَدْ آثَرُوا فِي وَجْهِهِ. While he's, and they saw that his face had been bruised, and there were clear marks on his face from the beating that they had given him. فَقَالُوا لَهُ هَذَا الَّذِي خَشِينَا عَلَيْكَ. So they said to him, this is what we feared for you. فَقَالَ مَا كَانَ أَعْدَاءُ اللَّهِ أَهْوَنَ عَلَيَّ مِنْهُمُ الْآنِ. He said, indeed, the enemies of Allah are not more irrelevant to, and have never been more irrelevant to me now than ever. And then after that, now, they're less relevant to me than they've ever been. Yani, that he received what he received in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, that which was feared. And that is the case, ikhwan, oftentimes, when someone fears a thing, but he faces his fear, and he may even receive something from that which has been feared, the fear disappears. So he said, wallahi, they have never been more irrelevant to me than today, after that which has taken place. He mentioned, وَلَئِنْ شِئْتُمْ لَأُغَادِيَنَّهُمْ بِمِثْلِهَا. He said, and if you want, I'll do the same tomorrow. رضي الله عنه وأرضاه. قالوا حسبك قد سمعتهم ما يكرهون. So they said to him, sufficient, that is sufficient, you have made them hear that which they dislike. And so the da'wah, ikhwan, in the early stage, even with the companions, it was something that was not easy. And that, again, is for, something for every single da'i to reflect upon. We say that we have difficulty, ikhwan. Wallahi, we have no difficulty. We have no hardship. In comparison to that which the companions went through, our hardship is irrelevant. None of us are being beaten for spreading the da'wah and calling to Allah Azza wa Jal. None of us is having blood drawn for conveying the tawheed and for calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, none of us. And that, no doubt, ikhwan, is an affair for each and every one of us to reflect upon. Look at how they stood for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, stood for the deen of Allah, spread the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, even if it meant that they would be harmed physically. They were ready, yani, to forsake their own faces and possibly put themselves into danger for the sake of spreading the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that, no doubt, when it was on the basis of this type of courage and this type of bravery that we saw the Tawheed of Allah spread in the Jaziratul Arab and across the globe. That it was that type of courage. And this was the courage, without doubt, of the prophets and the messengers. That the prophets and the messengers, ikhwan, as the Prophet ﷺ, he said, it is as though I am looking at the face, or looking at the face of that prophet from the prophets of Allah Azza wa Jal, who was beaten until his blood ran. And he said, O Allah, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is oftentimes in Christendom attributed to Isa ibn Maryam. But the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't mention specifically the prophet who it was. He said, that prophet from the prophets of Allah, who was beaten until blood ran, and he said, O Allah, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, and as we mentioned, ikhwan, there are numerous examples of how they were persecuted and they were harmed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We mentioned, I believe in last week's session, an example of Umar radiallahu anhu beating his sister, beating her husband, even though the narration that speaks of the Islam of Umar is not what we speak of, a different narration. And we'll come to the Islam of Umar in future weeks, inshaAllah. But there is another example of Umar beating a jariya, or a slave girl, from those who professed faith, from those who made their iman public. That there was a slave girl that Umar radiallahu anhu had heard of, that was prior to him embracing Islam. And so he tied her up and he would punish her and beat her on a regular basis. And that was when Umar radiallahu anhu was upon shirk. And he continued to do so, as Ibn Kathir mentions the narration in Bidayah wa Nihayah and Ibn Ishaq and others. He continued to do so until he said to her, إني أعتذر إليك إني لم أتركك إلا ملالة. That he said that, you know, I seek my excuse with you, that I have not left you alone except out of boredom. And he's just that I'm bored of beating you. And she likewise said, وَكَذَلِكَ فَعَلَ اللَّهُ بِكَ. She said to him, may Allah do the same to you. May Allah do the same to you. Yani, may you receive likewise, yani, some punishment in the way of Allah. The companions, and Umar radiallahu anhu, he mentions that in some narrations that he narrates from himself, that he used to do such and such to the believers. He attested the fact that he would harm the believers prior to him embracing Islam, and prior to him becoming Muslim. Similarly, ikhwan, from the examples and from the athar and the narrations related to the manner in which the tribe of Quraysh or the believers and their families made them undergo difficulty and hardship, or whether if it wasn't physical, then it was psychological. And in relation to that, we have the instance with Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas and his mother. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, after he embraced his mother, halafat, she swore that she would not eat a morsel abadan, that she would not eat another morsel until he disbelieved in Allah Azza wa Jal. And so she swore that she would not eat another morsel until Sa'd disbelieved in his deen. فقالت له زعمت أن الله أوساق بوالديك. She said to him, you claim that Allah Azza wa Jal has advised you concerning your parents. And he, using psychology with him, you claim that Allah has advised you in regards to your parents, that you should be good and dutiful to them. وَأَنَا أُمُّكَ. And I am your mother. وَأَنَا أَمُرُكَ بِهَذَا. And I command you with this, to leave your deen. And so you shall leave your deen. أو لا آكل ولا أشرب حتى أموت. Either you leave your deen, or I will not eat and I will not drink until I die. So when I die, you will be the cause. The people will dispraise you. He said, فَتُعَيَّرْ بِي وَيُقَالُ يَا قَاتِلُ أُمَّةٍ. So you will be blamed and you will be cursed and dispraised because of me. Yani because you was the cause of me dying. You made me die. You killed me in essence. And it will be said to you, oh, you who killed your mother. Oh, you the one who killed your mother. فقال سعد, لا تفعلي يا أمة. سعد said, don't do so, oh my mother. فإني لا أدع ديني. He said, don't do so, oh my mother. فَإِنِّي لَا أَدْعُ دِينِ هَذَا لِشَيْءٍ. For I will not leave this deen of mine for anything. And so, مَكَثَتْ ثَلَاثًا لَا تَأْكُلْ حَتَّى غُشِيَ عَلَيْهَا مِنَ الْجَهْدِ. And so she remained for 3 days, not eating or drinking, until she fell unconscious because of, yani, out of difficulty, the difficulty of not eating or drinking, and out of hunger. فَلَمَّا رَأَى ذَلِكَ سَعْدٌ قَالَ يَا أُمَّا وَاللَّهِ لَوْ كَانَتْ لَكِ مِئَةْ نَفْسٍ فَخَرَجَتْ نَفْسًا نَفْسًا مَا تَرَقْتُ دِينِ هَذَا لِشَيْءٍ. He said, oh my mother. And again, ikhwan, reflect upon the position and the scenario and what one of us would have done if it were our situation and us with our mothers. He said, oh my mother, wallahi, by Allah, if you had 100 souls and they left you soul by soul, I would not leave this deen of Allah Azza wa Jal for anything. فَإِنْ شِئْتِ فَكُلِي وَإِنْ شِئْتِ لَا تَأْكُلِي. So he said, so if you wish, eat. And if you wish, don't eat. But I will not leave this deen for anything. فَلَمَّا رَأَتْ مِنْهُ الْجِدِ أَكَلَتْ. So when she saw that he was serious, she decided to eat. فَأَنْزَرَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانُ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ لِتُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed the verses in Surah Al-Ankabut that we advise mankind with his parents with good. وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ, even if they fight against you to make shirk with me, then do not follow them. To make shirk with something that you have no knowledge, then do not follow them, but accompany, or do not obey them, but accompany them in the dunya with ma'rufa, accompany them in the dunya with good. That without doubt, ikhwan, is another example of the type of punishment, physical, psychological. We mentioned similarly the affair of Khabbab ibn al-Arat. That Khabbab ibn al-Arat, that he was punished in numerous ways, ikhwan, in the way of Allah, and he was yani, tormented in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On an occasion, Khabbab, he said, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُنِي يَوْمًا آخِذُونِي أَوْقَذُوا لِي نَارًا ثُمَّ سَلَّقُونِي فِيهَا ثُمَّ وَدَأَ رَجُلٌ رِجْلَهُ عَلَى صَدْرِي فَمَا اتَّقَيْتُ الْأَرْضَ إِلَّا بِظَهْرِي. قال ثم كشف على ظهره فإذا هو قد برس. He said that indeed I saw, and he makes mention of the forms of punishment and the forms of torment that he went through. I saw on an occasion that my people had set for me a fire, that is, had set a fire in order to punish me and to harm me, that my people had set a fire. And they had placed me in the fire. When they placed me in that fire, he said, that I not only did they place me within the fire, because as we mentioned, some of the other narrations mentioned that it was that which was similar to a large cauldron that was filled with fire, and they placed him within it. He said, no sooner did they place me within it, and that I was inside it, that an individual from among them came and placed his foot on my chest. And so he's inside that which is resembling to a huge cauldron. A fire was set within it. It was made red hot. He was placed within it. And then an individual came and put his foot on the chest of Khabbab ibn al-Arat. And he said that I did not come around except when my back was on the ground. And I did not rise except that I rose, yani seeing the skin of my back upon the ground. And so it was on the basis of that, that on an occasion, Khabbab, he likewise said, that ما أعلم أحدا من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لقي من البلاء ما لقيت. He said, I do not know from the companions of the messenger one who came across the type of punishment and hardship that I went through. And so during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, Khabbab ibn al-Arat entered upon them. And Umar called him. And he said to Khabbab, sit here beside me. For by Allah, there is no one that has more right to this seat than you, other than Ammar. There is no one that had more right to this seat than you, other than Ammar. No. And thus, as we mentioned, Ikhwan, it was on the basis of that, and on the basis of the adab and the punishment that they went through, that Khabbab, he came to the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, ud'u Allah lana, ala tad'u lana, ala tastansiru lana. He said, O Messenger of Allah, will you not supplicate for us? Will you not ask Allah and make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal for us? And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that indeed there was from those who came before you a man who was placed in a trench and was sawn in half for him to leave his deen, and that did not turn him away from his religion. And another man would have a metal comb that would, and that comb was used to scrape the skin from his body, and that in order to punish him, and that did not take him away from his religion. Wallahi layutimmanna Allah hadha al-amr hatta yasir al-raqib min Hadramaut ila San'a aw min San'a ila Hadramaut la yakhafu illa al-dhi'b ala ghanami. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that by Allah, Allah indeed shall complete this affair to the extent that the raqib, the riding person, will ride from Hadramaut to San'a, or from San'a to Hadramaut, not fearing except the wolf upon his sheep. And as Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar has mentioned, that San'a to Hadramaut was a well-known, extremely dangerous area to traverse upon. You couldn't cross those lands and those areas except that you knew tribes who would protect you, that you would either know someone or pay someone to protect you within that region as you travel. Dangerous areas. Prophet ﷺ, he said that a person would travel from San'a to Hadramaut, not fearing except the wolf upon his sheep. He said, but indeed, as the actor mentioned, that Allah should complete this affair, he said, but indeed you are a people who are hasty. And that, Ikhwan, without doubt, is from the dala'ilun nubuwa. It is from the dala'il, or from the signs of the prophethood of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because during this time of difficulty, if it were that the Prophet ﷺ was just creating a religion, as it is being said, and if it were that he was just a man who had brought about some deen and just created some idea to uplift his people and to uplift the Arab, with what conviction would he be able to make such a statement? Wallahi, la yutimmanna Allah hadha al-amr. لَيُتِمَّنَّ اللَّهُ هَذَا الْأَمَرُ by Allah, Allah shall complete this affair. So that a riding person will ride from Sana'a to Hadramaut, not fearing anything but the wolf upon his sheep. Conviction and certainty that that will certainly occur, or that affair will occur, and that is without doubt from the Dala'il al-Nubuwa and from the signs of the prophethood of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another hadith that occurs in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, likewise involving Khabbab ibn al-Arat, we have a narration where Khabbab, he mentions, Kana ala al-As ibn Wa'il Dain. That indeed, As ibn Wa'il, after he mentioned, Kuntu rajulan qayyinan. That I used to be the qayyin, the origin is it that he is a blacksmith, but it was used for other types of smiths, yani for glass smiths, and other than that, the term was later used in a more general way by the Arab. He said, so I was a blacksmith, and I had a loan that I had given to Al-As ibn Wa'il. He owed Khabbab ibn al-Arat an amount. فَأَتَيْتُهُ أَتَقَاضَى. And so I went to him seeking the repayment. And so he said, لا والله. He said, لا والله, no, by Allah. لا أقديك حتى تكفر بمحمد. He said, by Allah, I will not repay you until you disbelieve in Muhammad. فقلت, لا والله, لا أكفر بمحمد حتى تموت. ثم تبعث. He said, no, by Allah, I won't disbelieve in Muhammad until you die and until you are resurrected. And so he responded, فإني إذا مت ثم أبعث جئتني ولي ذم مال وولد فأعتيق. He said that then after I die and I'm resurrected, and I have children and wealth, then come to me and I'll pay you back. And so on the basis of that, Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed, أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ بِآيَاتِنَا وَقَالَ لَأُوتَيَنَّ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا أَطَّلَعَ الْغَيْبِ أَمِ اتَّخَذَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَهْدَى. Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed the statement, have you not seen the one who disbelieves in our signs, and he says that indeed I shall be given wealth and I shall be given children. Yani, I shall be given wealth and children after my death. So Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned, was he shown the unseen? Or does he have a covenant with Allah? And so that verse was revealed concerning this instance with Khabbab ibn al-Arat and this individual from among the kuffar. As it relates, ikhwan, to the Islam and the manner in which it was spreading from those who had embraced Islam and from the earlier of the companions, was the affair of the Islam of Abi Dharr. Abi Dharr, he said, after Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar discusses the fact that Suhaib Rumi, that he was from the Mustada'afin, from those who were weak and those who were punished in the way of Allah and persecuted in the way of Allah. He mentions, وَلَمَّا أَقْبَلَ أَبُو ذَرٍ إِلَى مَكَّةٍ مُؤْمِنًا قَالَ لَهُ النَّبِيُّ صلى الله عليه وسلم ارجع إلى قومك فأخبرهم حتى يأتيك أمري. He said that indeed after Abu Dharr had come to Mecca as a believer, and Abi Dharr, the full story and narration of Abi Dharr is something that will delay the mention of till it reaches a relevant place. But in any case, when he came as a believer, the Prophet ﷺ had said to him, go back to your people, remain with them until you are informed of the fact that I have appeared. And that was during a time when the da'wah was had still not been made public. He mentioned, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِي لَأَدْرُخَنَّ بِهَا بَيْنَ ظَهْرَانَيْهِمْ فَخَرَجَ حَتَّى أَتَى الْمَسْجِدْ فَنَادَى بِأَعْلَى صَوْتِهِ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ فَثَارَ عَلَيْهِ الْقَوْمُ فَضَرَبُوهُ حَتَّى أَضْجَهُ فَأَتَى الْعَبَّاسُ فَأَكَبَّ عَلَيْهِ فقال ويلكم ألستم تعلمون أنه من غفار وأن طريق تجارتكم إلى شام عليهم فأنقذه منهم ثم عاد من الغد بمثلها وثاروا إليه فضربوه فأكب عليه عباس فأنقذه. That they mentioned that indeed the following day when the Prophet ﷺ made that statement, he said, I shall return to them and I shall announce the affair among them. And again, Ikhwan, this was now the stage where we saw the companions now making the affair apparent, either reciting to them the Quran or informing them of the fact that I have now become a Muslim and I am following the way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, I shall return to them and I shall yell at the affair and I shall proclaim the affair while I am in their midst. And so he returned to them until he came to the masjid, and perhaps the intent behind the masjid here is a place where they used to worship the idols. Since it's not clear that it is a reference here to the Masjid al-Haram and the Kaaba, the area of the Kaaba. فَنَادَى بِأَعْلَى صَوْتِهِ. And so he called with his in a high voice, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله. He proclaimed in a high voice, I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And so he mentioned thereon after he made that proclamation and testified to his belief in the Prophet ﷺ and belief in Allah Azza wa Jal, that they stood, they rose to him, and they surrounded him, and they continued to beat him until they inflicted pain upon him until he was bruised. And so, Atal Abbas came and he dispersed the crowd and he said, woe to you! Woe to you! Do you not know that he is from Ghaffar, and in the tribe of Ghaffar, Abu Dhar was Ghaffari, and that your path to Sham, since the journeys that they would make for Tijara, the journeys that they would make for trade, they would have to pass certain tribes, yani from Mecca to Sham, or from Medina to Sham. That your path towards Sham is through Ghifar, through the tribe of, yani the Ghifari tribe, so you're going to pass his people. If that is the case then, how are you going to harm one of their lives? How then will you be able to make your journeys? And so he mentioned, do you not know then that he is from Ghifar, and that your path, the path of your tijara, the path of your trade, since they would make two bi-yearly journeys to Sham, important journeys for trade, that your path to Sham is by way of them. Release him. And so they released him. And then the following day, Abi Dhar, he returned to them. And he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. And again, they pounced upon him and began to beat him. And they beat him severely. And again, Abbas, he entered, he dispersed them. He said, release him and leave this man. And so, Ikhwan, we see that on numerous occasions, the companions, in the sake of conveying the da'wah, carrying out, number one, that which the Prophet ﷺ was commanded with, and that which the Prophet commanded them with, alayhi salatu wasalam. That number one, he himself was commanded to convey. And that was a command to the Messenger ﷺ, and he commanded them to convey. And so it is not then said that that was something that was only upon the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, that he conveyed, and that he did not put that upon the believers. Rather, it was something that was upon the believers. And so they went through a similar affair to that which the Prophet he went through. And what we will see then in future weeks is the manner in which the kuffar of Quraysh, after they used the method of ta'zeeb and persecution, physical punishment and persecution, and they saw that that was of no use, that brought about no benefit, then they moved to utilizing a number of different asalib, a number of different methods in trying to turn the people away from the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And those methods we will see in the coming weeks. Bi-idhnillah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wa akhir da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.